Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The bowling alley on Route 9 was the kind of place nobody went unless they were broke or bored. You know, that place with the peeling wallpaper, flickering neon lights, and shoes that smelled like decades of feet. But it was cheap, which is why Rachel, Tommy, and I crashed there almost every Friday night during sophomore year. That's where I met this weird dude. He was always there when we arrived, in lane 7, no matter what time we showed up. He'd bowl a few frames, then spend most of his time walking around, pretending to look for his ball or check the scoring screen. But I could feel his eyes on me. The man was tall, maybe in his mid-40s, with thinning hair slicked back with too much gel. He wore the same gray windbreaker every time. "That guy gives me the creeps," Rachel said one night, nodding toward lane 7.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tommy suggested that he was just some lonely dude that we should ignore. But ignoring him got harder when he started choosing lanes closer to ours. From lane 9, he went to lane 5, and then to lane 3. And he'd stand there between his turns, hands in his pockets, watching us bowl. One Friday night in November, he took lane 2, the one right next to us. Rachel and I exchanged looks, but didn't say anything. Tommy rolled his eyes and grabbed his ball. The man bowled his first frame, then walked over to our ball return, and just stood there, like he had every right to be in our space. "Nice form," he said, looking at me. His voice was gentle, and that worsened it. "Thanks," I muttered and tried to brush him off. "You're dropping your shoulder, though. Here, let me show you." Before I could respond, he stepped behind me. His hand touched my elbow, adjusting my arm. His other hand pressed against my lower back. Every muscle in my body went rigid. His hands were cold through my shirt. He smelled like cigarettes and something that made my stomach turn. "There. Feel the difference?" he cooed in my ear. I jerked away, told him I was good, and grabbed Rachel's arm to leave. He flashed me a smile that said he knew exactly how uncomfortable he'd made me, and enjoyed it. "See you next week," I heard his chuckle behind us. We left without finishing our game. Drove to the diner on Main Street, sat in a booth, and pretended none of it had ever happened. Around 10, Rachel's mom picked her up, so Tommy drove me home since my house was on his way. He dropped me off at the curb, and I watched his taillights disappear down the street before walking up my driveway. My mom's car wasn't there. She was working the night shift at the hospital. I'd forgotten my key that morning, so I had to use the spare we kept in the ceramic frog by the back porch. The motion sensor light clicked on as I walked around the side of the house. I found the frog, grabbed the key, and headed for the back door. That's when I heard running footsteps behind me. I spun around, and there he was, still in his gray windbreaker, his slicked back hair caught in the porch light. He was 10 feet away, then 5 feet, and finally 3 feet away from me. I screamed and lunged for the door, jamming the key in the lock. My hands were shaking so bad I could barely turn them. He reached me just as the lock clicked. His hand grabbed my shoulder, fingers dug in hard enough to bruise as I threw my weight against the door, and it flew open. I stumbled inside, tried to slam it shut, but he shoved his foot in the gap. "Wait," he panted. "I just want to talk." I screamed louder and kicked at his foot. He pulled back just for a second, and I slammed the door, twisted the deadbolt, and backed away. He pounded on the door. "Maya, I swear I just want to be friends." How did he know my name? I ran to the kitchen, grabbed the biggest knife from the block, and pulled out my phone with my shaking hands as I dialed 911. The pounding stopped. I stood there in the dark kitchen listening to his movements. Knife in one hand, phone in the other. The house was silent except for my ragged breath. The operator stayed on the line until the police arrived 8 minutes later. They searched the yard, the street, and the neighbors' properties. But there wasn't any gray windbreaker, or slick back hair, or an SUV parked nearby. Instead, they found the deep impressions of footprints in the soft dirt beneath my bedroom window, like someone had stood there. They also found fresh scratches on the window screen. The officer took my statement and took photos of the footprints and damaged screen. The officer asked if I knew anyone who might want to hurt me. I told them all about the bowling alley and the guy. They said they'd follow up, check the security footage. 2 days later, they called back. The bowling alley owner refused to hand over the footage, quoting some company policy that forbade entertaining such requests without a warrant. And since no actual crime occurred on his property, he wasn't cooperating. The case went cold. We stopped going back to that bowling alley. But 3 weeks later, I saw him again. I was walking home from school, taking my usual route down Maple Street, when a gray SUV rolled past me slowly. The passenger window rolled down. He leaned across the center, flashing that smile. "Need a ride, Maya?" I ran without looking back and didn't slow down until I reached the gas station on the corner, where there were always people and cameras and witnesses. The SUV didn't follow, but his shameless laughter did. My mom suggested we file a restraining order, but you need a name and an address for that. We had neither. That was 4 years ago. I'm in college now, 3 states away. I don't bowl anymore. I can't stand the sounds of pins crashing, or the smell of lane wax, or the sight of gray SUVs. The dude has ruined it all for me. Senior year, my friends and I got into urban exploration. We'd break into abandoned hospitals and close down schools. We just loved the thrill of being somewhere we weren't supposed to be. Derek worked part-time at Sunset Lanes those days. It was this run-down bowling alley on the edge of town, a total ghost except for league nights, when a handful of regulars would shuffle in. One Saturday, Derek mentioned the owner was thinking of selling it. Somebody had bid good money on the relic, and the dude was tired of having to keep patching it up. Marcus immediately suggested we check it out before it was gone forever. Derek protested, worried about getting fired. But Lily pointed out that he was quitting in 2 weeks anyway. She asked when else we'd get the chance to explore a bowling alley at night. Derek had swiped the spare key from the office the day before, and that's how we ended up there at 2 in the morning that Tuesday. Inside, the alley felt different at night. The overhead lights were off except for the glow of emergency exits and the faint shine from the scoring monitors. Our footsteps echoed weird in the empty space. Marcus immediately ran down lane 3, sliding on his knees while Lily started snapping photos of everything. "Relax, dude. I told Derek when I saw him checking his phone for the third time. We messed around for maybe 20 minutes, threw a few balls, and explored the snack bars. Suddenly, Lily called out from the back hallway, saying she spotted a funky door. We followed her voice past the restrooms, through a narrow corridor that led to storage. The door was metal, painted the same ugly beige as the walls. The sign read, "Maintenance. Authorized personnel only." Marcus kicked the door open. The room beyond was packed with old equipment, broken pin setters, and stacks of worn shoes. We spent the next 5 minutes exploring the room. It was a usual maintenance room, packed with boring-looking cardboard boxes. Marcus kicked one, and suddenly a loud thump echoed from below us. All of us froze. I asked Derek if there was a basement he knew about. Derek shook his head. Before we could figure anything out, another thump made us jump. It felt closer this time. Marcus started moving boxes, suddenly focused. Behind a stack of old score sheets, he found a handle set flush into the floor. It was partially hidden under a grimy rubber mat. We breathed out in disbelief. There was a basement. Derek backed toward the door, saying we should leave. But Marcus was already pulling the hatch open.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We waited with hitched breath as metal groaned against metal and cold air rushed up, carrying the sour smell with it. The ladder below disappeared into darkness. Marcus announced he was going down. I told him it was a bad idea. He ignored me, already climbing down. Lily followed him. I looked at Derek, who was pale and shaking his head. Then I grabbed my phone and turned on the flashlight. The basement was bigger than I expected, with a low ceiling, a concrete floor, and metal shelving units lining the walls. Everything was covered in thick dust, like nobody had been down there in decades. Boxes were stacked everywhere, most of them water damaged and falling apart. Lily asked why they would hide this like that. We got the answer by a slow, raspy grumble that came from deeper in the basement. My light swept across the space and caught a door at the far end. It was slightly open. The grumbles were coming from behind it. Marcus moved toward the door. "Dude, we need to leave right now," I said, grabbing his arm, but he shook me off. He said there was someone down here who might need help and pushed the door open. My light found the corner of the room, and I saw the man, or what used to be a man. He was crouched in the corner, naked, except for filthy rags tied around his waist. His hair was long and matted. His skin was covered in sores and grime, and he was rocking back and forth, muttering something under his breath. When my light hit his face, his movements halted mid-motion, and he stared at us with eyes that were too wide and white, like he'd been in the dark for so long he couldn't process light anymore. In seconds, it came crawling at us on all fours, moving faster than anything that size should. The sound it made wasn't human. Lily screamed. Marcus shoved her toward the ladder. I bolted. Behind us, I could hear it coming. Could hear the nails scraping against the concrete. Derek was already on the ladder, scrambling up. Lily went next, then Marcus. I was the last. As I grabbed the first rung, his cold fingers caught my ankle. He was impossibly strong. I kicked backward aimlessly. One of them might have connected with his skull. The grip released, and I hauled myself up. We slammed the hatch closed. Marcus and I dragged a filing cabinet over it while it pounded from below. The metal hatch jumped with each impact. We ran and didn't stop until we were at Marcus's car, doors locked and engine running. Nobody spoke on the drive back. Derek was crying silently. Lily kept wiping her hands on her jeans like she was trying to clean something off of them. I called in an anonymous tip to the police the next morning, told them I'd heard screaming from the bowling alley. They investigated but found nothing. The owner said there was no basement, and when they checked, the hatch had vanished, sealed over with fresh concrete. Derek quit without notice the next day. He didn't even go back for his last paycheck. We never talked about what happened. But sometimes I wonder if that thing is still down there, waiting in the dark, starving and shivering. Amanda and I had been living together for 6 months when it happened. The house was old, built in the 1940s, but the rent was cheap and the neighborhood was quiet. We loved it. That Friday night in July, we'd planned to go bowling. Amanda had been talking about it all week. She wanted to blow off steam after a brutal work week. We got to the alley around 8, got our shoes, and picked our lane. Amanda was having fun until he walked in. I had never seen her face change color like that before. She was pale as a ghost, and her whole body went rigid. "We should go," she said quietly. "What? We just got here." "Tyler, please. I want to leave." I followed her eyes and saw him. He was tall, gym rat build, and already staring at our lane with this expression I couldn't read. Amanda grabbed her purse and was already walking to the door. In the parking lot, she finally told me everything about the abusive relationship with Mike. The restraining order had expired 3 months ago. He'd shown up at her work twice since then. Never did anything. Just watched her from across the street. "Why didn't you tell me earlier?" I asked. She didn't answer. We drove home in silence. I could tell she was rattled by the way she kept checking the side mirror like she expected to see his truck following us. At home, I opened a bottle of wine and tried to salvage the evening. We ended up playing Wii bowling in the living room instead. After her third glass, Amanda finally started laughing again. I thought we had put the whole thing behind us. But around 11, a heavy thud from upstairs jolted us awake. I checked both bedrooms, the bathroom, and the spare room we used for storage. Everything looked normal. The windows were closed.
"Probably the stray cat,"
I called down to Amanda. We went to bed again. Amanda fell asleep almost immediately, curled against my side. I was almost out when I heard the thud again. It was heavier this time, and it came from the attic. I slipped out of bed carefully, not wanting to wake her, grabbed my phone from the nightstand, and pulled on a t-shirt. In the hallway, I stood beneath the attic access hatch, listening. The steady creaking sound continued. I pulled down the ladder as quietly as I could. It extended with a soft screech of metal. I climbed slowly, letting the phone's flashlight cut through the darkness above. The attic was hot and dusty. Insulation was visible between the rafters. The boxes we'd stored when we moved there were stacked along one side. At the far end, near the small circular window, a chair rocked. One we definitely didn't own. The flashlight hit him, and he stopped rocking. Just froze mid-motion with his back to me.
What's up, Uso? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
He was wearing dark clothes and a jacket despite the heat. His head was tilted at a strange angle. Who the hell are you? My voice came out shakier than I wanted. He didn't answer. This is my house. You need to leave now. That's when he started laughing in a way that made my blood run cold. Because I'd heard that before, at the bowling alley, from across the parking lot, when Amanda had grabbed my hand and pulled me toward the car. He stood up slowly, still facing away from me. Get out or I'm calling 911. I put on a brave face, but I was already backing toward the ladder. Mike turned around. His face was pale and slick with sweat. His eyes were too wide, and his mouth was twisted between a smile and a grimace. He looked wilder and unhinged, the version Amanda had warned me about. As he stepped closer, one step at a time, I dropped down through the hatch faster than I'd climbed up. I nearly fell down the ladder, but I managed to grab the cord and slam the hatch closed just as his footsteps reached it. He hit the hatch from above. Each impact shook the frame. He kept screaming Amanda's name over and over and claimed that she was his and could never leave him. I braced myself against the ladder, using my weight to keep the hatch closed. My arms were already shaking.
Tyler? What's happening?
Amanda was in the hallway, phone in hand. Then she heard his voice. And her face went white.
Oh my God. Oh my God, that's...
Call the police now. She dialed, backing toward the bedroom. Her hands shook so badly she almost dropped the phone. Above us, the pounding continued. The hatch was starting to buckle. Amanda told me that cops would show up in 5 minutes. Those were the longest 5 minutes of my life. My shoulders burned from holding the hatch. He kept hitting it and kept screaming her name. Suddenly, the wood splintered, and his fingers appeared through a crack. They were pale and dirty and reaching for me. But right when his fingertips brushed my hair, sirens wailed outside. The pounding stopped. I could hear him move toward the small window at the other end of the attic. Cops caught him trying to climb out. He was still screaming Amanda's name when they pulled him back through the window and cuffed him. Up close, he looked more hideous. His clothes were filthy, his fingernails were caked with dirt. He stared at me with pure hatred as they walked him past. He promised he'd find her as the officers dragged him. The officers said he'd probably been up there since before we got home, must have followed us from the bowling alley, watched us go inside, then climbed in while we were downstairs drinking wine. The cops said we were lucky to get out unharmed because they found weapons in his pockets. We moved out 2 weeks later. Amanda couldn't sleep knowing he'd been above us, listening to us panic over him, watching through the cracks of the floorboards, and waiting for the right moment to finish what he had started. She has nightmares now. Waking up convinced she can hear that rocking chair creaking above her.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Still screaming her name. Over and over.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.